useless as a screen door on a submarine. There they go, Rich Mullins and Company. Song is called Screen Door, and it's 10 minutes after the hour. It's a Monday here along the broken road in the cold, cold Northland. East Dakota, we're at 26 below at the moment. We just rang up Dr. Don, who's down there in Garden Valley, Texas. Don, what's the temperature outside where you are?
Well, this morning it's quite chilly. I mean, it's not 36 degrees like you folks, but it's 18 degrees.
18 so above? You have 18 above, though, huh?
18 above, yes.
Okay. Already. Well,
we don't get to the minuses here. I don't think I've ever seen minus.
That's not allowed in Texas. I think they've outlawed negative temperatures in Texas. But what's this doing for your grapes? Does this hurt you, or are they just still sleeping anyway?
Well, they're still sleeping, so they're fine.
Already.
They're fine.
Tucked in their little grape beds.
On Saturday, we had almost 80 degree weather. So we had a precipitous drop in temperature.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We're talking with Dr. Don Clark, a member of the board at Creation Moments, and a biochemist. He's the only scientist we actually have on staff here at the radio station. And it's a good thing because he's found us a topic that will take a scientist to unravel for us here. The woolly mammoth. This is kind of a complex thing because apparently they're taking another wild guess at what made them disappear. We know more about mammoths than almost any other, or should I say it's prehistoric. Is it a prehistoric animal, or was this included in history because men hunted them, didn't they?
Well, they certainly did, and we have kind of cave drawings of men hunting them, so they were certainly around when man was around. There's no question about that.
And they covered a large portion of the earth, didn't they? Although it may be concentrated in Siberia.
Well, we find them. We find them in Alaska. We find them in a lot of places that are now quite cold, which apparently at one time was a lot warmer. So, that's what we're going to be talking about.
Well, I remember stories of mammoths being found encased in ice and then exhumed and flowers, almost fresh flowers, found in their stomachs yet. So that would suggest a warmer climate at one point. Do scientists, are they confident that regions north of us were actually had a warmer climate at one point?
Well, it's interesting. Creationists have no problem with that, of course, but other folks, other researchers, are trying to figure out, okay, well, how did all this come about? Some would say, well, you know, we go through these cyclical cycles of ice age and then a warmer climate and then an ice age and then a warmer climate. And the standard line is that there's been many ice ages and there's been many periods of warmer climate. The problem is, for example, let's take Siberia, since that was mentioned earlier, even in the warmer climate that we have today, you know, Siberia can get down to minus 40 degrees. So that's not a very conducive temperature for woolly mammoths, even though they have a lot of hair.
Well, they have a lot of area to keep warm, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. And they, from the stomach contents, they definitely were eating what are called forbs, which are like sagebrush, yarrow, and mums, and that appeared to be their favorite food. In this article starts off by saying that, well, scientists think they have a new theory now for why the woolly mammoths have passed away or died. And that is their diet changed from these forbs to grasses. So the area that once, supported the forbs was now thought to have changed over, was invaded by grasses, for example. And so they said, well, you know, the woolly mammoths didn't eat grass, so they just died off. Well, that's not the evidence.
Don't elephants eat grass?
They certainly do. So there's no reason to think that the woolly mammoth wouldn't have eaten grass as well. And so it's a pretty thin theory. And the other thing, a lot of these woolly mammoths that have been found have been completely intact. It's not like they died off slowly and they just starved to death and then something happened. Mm-hmm. All indications are that they died off very, very rapidly, almost to the point where you think that a catastrophe came upon them. And so how can we explain that?
Well, yeah, if you find one intact in the ice, in other words, he was frozen and preserved before he could decompose, that suggests a pretty quick freeze.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. A very quick freeze, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And, like elephants, woolly mammoths aren't going to, travel thousands of miles. They're fairly slow, even in a run. They're pretty fairly slow creatures. And so if a catastrophe came upon them, then they wouldn't be able to outrun it or and get away from
it. How do we know they're slow? I don't think I could outrun an elephant. How do we know mammoths are slow? How do we decide that they're slow?
Slow, relatively speaking. I mean, they're not impalas, for example, or something.
Okay, well, I gotcha.
They're not agile.
Already.
They would have been relatively in... yes, they probably could have ran faster, but how long could they have kept up?
Well, there were bazillions of bison that trampled their way across North America, north and south, in regular migrations every year. And I'm told that they would fill the land of the horizon. There were so many of them. If they were mammoths, it seems to me, if there was a slow climate change, they could have moved south. They could have ambled on south if that was what it took. But apparently, that didn't happen because they got caught in the ice.
Yeah, they did. There's no reason to believe that was the only region where the woolly mammoths were. But mm-hmm. they were in the. In these areas, which obviously were once warm, and then all of a sudden, it started snowing apparently pretty heavily, and a lot of them actually are buried in silt, mm-hmm. Wind-blown silt, along with the ice. So something major was happening at the time of their demise.
Well, what does a creationist offer up for evidence of this then? Does this have to do with the flood, perhaps?
Well, it did, because, we of course believe that it happened, it was a result of the flood. And here's a couple of reasons why. In order to get something like an ice age, not something like, in order to get a lot of snow, which is what is required for an ice age, is you need a lot of moisture in the air. You need colder land and warmer seas. So the Bible talks about the waters from the deep, came forth. Obviously, as well as it was raining and a lot of water coming from above, but there was an awful lot of water coming from the deep. Well, it is possible that these waters are going to be a lot warmer than, let's say, surface water is going to be. So that pouring into the oceans would have warmed up the oceans quite a bit. And it's that warmer temperature of the oceans that produce this moisture that you need in order to create the start of a lot of snow to produce the ice age. Now, the second element is how do you block the sunlight? Well, we know that there was a lot of geological activity going on at the same time of the flood taking place, for example, and shortly thereafter. So, as we had talked about in previous programs, that there was the continents were splitting and drifting apart, and during this time there had to be a lot of volcanic activity. And the volcanic activity, of course, would have spewed a lot of volcanic ash into the atmosphere, into the upper atmospheres, and that would have blocked the sun. And so now you have warm waters producing a lot of moisture. You have this dust in the upper atmospheres, the upper atmosphere that is blocking the sun. So now you've got perfect conditions for an ice age to take place. The Earth is not being warmed by the sun, so it is going to be a lot cooler than the surrounding oceans. And so that then would precipitate or the snow, you know, to fall and to fall, you know, in masses. So let's go back now to the woolly mammoth. And how does this help explain the demise of the woolly mammoth? Well, when the waters are warmer, then you'd have ocean breezes blowing onto the land, which would be moist, which would be warmer, thereby setting up a climate, a microclimate, if you will, in those regions where which would support the forbs and the, you know, the sagebrush and the yarrow and the mums, which when then also support the woolly mammoth. The temperature would be rather not tropical, but it would be, you know, a warmer, much warmer climate than we have today, for example, in those regions. And as long as the Earth, you know, is staying relatively warm, then those conditions would persist for.
So we're suggesting here that it was those warm oceans and the landward airflow that would have created the warmer climate at northern latitudes then.
That's
precipitated
correct.
Or that allowed for the growth of these forbs and other warm climate grasses and vegetation to support the, so that over years that might have happened, and the population of the mammoths would have done well on that diet and grown in numbers, and then there had to be another sudden change, because we've got to bring in this cold really quickly, don't we?
Right, and then so as the you know temperatures start dropping because of the sun being blocked at you know possibly you know later time.
So maybe a major eruption or multiple eruptions around the Earth at the same time.
Yeah, probably multiple eruptions and kind of continuous for you know a long period of time, because you know even eruptions today. You know, Mount St. Helens, it would have, you know, it blocks the sun in the region where the dust, volcanic ash, for example, gets caught up in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Hundreds and hundreds of, if not thousands of square miles. So if you can envision, you know, more than just one volcano going off, but multiple volcanoes going off at different periods of time to create this... this dust cloud way up in the atmosphere, then that would cause, as I said, the Earth to cool down, which ultimately would cause the seas eventually, you know, to cool down.
But water changes temperature more slowly than land.
Right, exactly, because it's a pretty big heat sink, and so you would have this moisture now. Going up, and now it's starting to snow. But the other thing that's happening is obviously you've had different elevations, and so you would have the upper elevations being very cold, where the lower elevations would still be relatively warm. Now, what this does is set up an atmospheric conditions where you would have tremendous winds. Being generated from that, because obviously you need a great temperature differential to cause the winds that apparently was strong enough not to bring just a little bit of silt, but we're talking about almost a mile deep or more of silt As the temperatures dropped, it would be moisture in the air would be drier. Things would start to actually dry out, and then you would pick up from the earth just this tremendous amount of silt. It would be picked up and blown, and so I can imagine that these woolly mammoths were bombarded, at that time, with all of this silt, and at the same time it's snowing, and so it's not very pleasant conditions, for them, and so it would be, for example, even greater than the Dust Bowl was. Mm-hmm. Back in the 30s, those are the type of conditions, but being very cold at the same, at the same time.
And this might have happened to various degrees in various locations around where there were mammoth populations. So it's not necessarily that they were all wiped out at the same time.
Right, right. Okay. But mm-hmm. relatively speaking, mm-hmm. on a time scale, okay, maybe, who knows whether it was over a 10-year period, over a longer period of time, mm-hmm. We don't know, but there had to be some type of major activity like this, mm-hmm. that took place that then buried the woolly mammoths in both this the silt and the ice or the snow that was happened to be falling at the time.
So in keeping with the dating of the flood, then they would have met their demise 4,000 years ago, roughly.
Roughly, but this activity could have gone on for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they could be more recent than that, then. Yeah,
in some time, I mean, probably no more than 700 years mm-hmm. after the flood. But with the with the continents being moved apart, now we also know that. All of the animals were on the ark because those land animals had to, got wiped out along with man, in the flood, except those that were on the ark. So there had to be elephants, woolly mammoths, or woolly elephants, if you will,
mm-hmm. yeah.
on the ark, with Noah. And so there had to be enough time for them to migrate off the ark and get over to these places where we now find mm-hmm. them, and multiply. I mean, it was estimates in the millions of these woolly mammoths. So it had to be sometime after the flood when all of this activity was going on.
Now, we have relatively recent historical evidence, do we not, of mini ice ages, where maybe like a Krakatoa in the 1880s might have changed the climate for a time over the Earth, or Santorini in 1500 BC, because there are written records of some very cold and snowy summers. And I'm trying to think of the year, and I'm thinking 1819, 1819, 1819, might have been in the 1780s, another one, where there seemed to be a year without a summer. So we have evidence where we know that volcanic eruptions can affect the climate, at least over short periods, meaning a year or two.
Right.
It was 16 below in Amarillo in 1899.
Oh, 18.
Oh, well, there you go.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Amarillo's a little further north than we are, but okay. Those type of things can have relatively, and I'm going to say relatively local effects, not global effects. Mm-hmm. This what happened to the woolly mammoth was a global effect. I mean, it was happening, I'm sure, pretty much all over the world at the time. There were colder temperatures even further south than obviously Siberia and Alaska.
Well, if we found intact mammoths, does that mean we can get DNA and grow some more? That's got to be a possibility.
Well, we could certainly do DNA comparison test with elephants, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. and see how closely related they are to them, and I don't know. I'm sure somebody's done that, but I don't know the results of those that study. But I would suspect that they're what I would call in the same kind of animal. They're mm-hmm. just a variation on the elephant, mm-hmm. just like you could have woolly, just like we have woolly cows, for example.
Well, yeah,
we've got woolly elephants, and that's that's not surprising.
Now, geneticists talk about, for example, a primeval bull, and they're still able to trace DNA from the original stock into cows and cattle around the world. And the same, I think, goes with canines. Some of the wolves or whatever dogs came from, but they're all within the kind. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, I mean, creationists say, there are variations on a kind. Evolutionists would say, well, that's microevolution. And obviously proof of evolution, this micro variation. But, God was, he obviously had a sense of humor, and he allowed variation.
He allowed wacko scientists, didn't he? That was,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he allowed for variation within a kind, but not much variation outside of the kind. So it makes for an interesting world. And apparently that variation happens relatively quick. Mm-hmm. It's not something that takes eons of time to take place.
Well, interesting stuff, and it's intriguing that there could be a mammoth growing right now in a petri dish someplace in some college lab or some corporate laboratory. I think going back to Jurassic Park and that whole idea, I can't imagine science resisting the temptation to do that with all kinds of things.
Hmm.
Yeah, it would be tempting, that's for sure, to see if you could, take the DNA and do something with it. The problem is that DNA is such a long molecule, even though you've got different chromosomes. These things are tremendously long, mm-hmm. and any type of extraction technique that you use starts breaking them up pretty easily.
Okay, so
you'd wind up with longer. You'd wind up with pieces and not necessarily the complete complete chain that you started with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, fascinating field. Don Clark, a biochemist, member of the board again at CreationMoments.com, and I would invite you to visit their website. You can link to them from ours at BrokenRoadRadio.com. You'll find it a treasure trove of resources on creation, and there's science to be found there. Now, if you listen to the other side, you figure it's all wackos and nuts talking about creationism and a young earth, but I vouch for it. There is science to support that position, too. And it's well worth the discussion, well worth looking into over at creationmoments.org. And this particular article that we're looking at is from the Institute of Creation Research. And as we post our podcast of this conversation later today on our website, you will be able to link to this. And it's just at icr.org. And then you could search for woolly mammoths if you want to get there before the podcast's up. And you can, I'm sure, locate this article. Don, interesting.
Yes, it is. I mean, how did these animals exist? In the frozen environment that they that is there now, obviously it had to be warmer. So, how do you interpret the data? I mean, that's what it's kind of all about. What model best fits the data that we're seeing? And in this case, in my mind, there's no doubt that the creation model fits the data much, much better than, trying to say that, well, it's a minor diet change, mm-hmm. which actually caused the demise.
Yeah, that would have, all those mammoths they found in the ice would have had frowns on their faces then, I would think. So anyway.
Does mom taste a little off to you?
Well, it had to happen quick, and I think that creation model and the flood and everything that indicates a very rapid change and offers a sound logic anyway on top of the science. Don, thanks as always. Look forward to you next week, okay?
Very good. Well, actually, next week I'm going to be in Siberia talking about
that's
Siberia.
Right. That's coming up so fast.
And you're going to talk about this.
I'm going to look for the woolly mammoths if I can find them.
Well, send me a picture, will you? I want a picture of you standing next to Or maybe lying next to a mammoth there. It's okay. Travel safely. We'll be in touch with you.
Okay, thanks.